Hello, this is Mike Swanson of WallStreetWinner.com. I'm speaking with a very special guest today. I'm speaking with Ike Iosif, who runs the website MarketViews.tv. How are you doing today, Ike?
I'm doing well, Mike. How about yourself? Thank you.
Oh, I'm doing great. It's been a really fascinating couple weeks here in the stock market. In August, nothing happened at all, really. We just traded a very narrow range. The volatility vanished. And then we broke down below it the other week. And now the market's going all over the place from day to day. So I think people are really confused. And I've got my own opinions of where things are going. But this is time for people to really be open-minded and consider all angles. And that's why I'm really curious what your thoughts are of what's happening.
Well, Mike, this time around, we're also going to follow the format we followed last time. And last time, we broke our interview into two parts. One was on the 14th of July, and the second one was on the 28th of July. And the reason we did that is because there was lots of information, and we thought it would be a better idea to kind of concentrate on the big things the first time, and then the second time on all the detailed charts that we usually do.
Mm-hmm.
So back on July 28th, we had said that, I mean, the conclusion of all the analysis we had done was the fact that the market was near a top. And more than likely, later in the year, we could see higher prices, but at that moment, we were near a top. Well, the market did not go very much higher after July 28th. In fact, it remained a very narrow range, and then it broke down. And the question is, where are things now in the big picture? And I'm going to start with two of my favorite long-term charts.
Okay.
The first one, okay, is the McClellan Summation Index for the NYSE. Now, if you look at the formation that we have right now, what do we have? We have an inverted W top, okay? Now, normally, this pattern spells trouble not that much immediately, but for the intermediate term.
Okay.
Now, the last time we had a similar pattern, which was from the beginning of 2014 until July of 2014, then we saw a sharp deterioration going into October, and then sideways movement for roughly about 10 months, and then a further breakdown, okay? So if you look at the price action, and if you look at the pattern of the NYSE Summation Index, okay, we can expect that we can see further deterioration over the next 4 weeks. But the key thing and the most interesting thing is what is going to happen afterwards. In other words,
okay,
at the end of October, going forward, we get the most positive season of the year, okay? And in all the years that I have been in this business, one of the lessons I have learned with regards to seasonality and the clues you get from it is where the market does what it usually does in negative or positive seasonality. What I'm getting at, Mike, is this. Let's say we do get further deterioration for the next 3-4 weeks, which I think probably we will. But after that, if the market is unable to convincingly rally and make new highs, then 2017 will be a very difficult year for the market. And to corroborate that, okay, we look at the next chart, which is a great chart. It's from Decision Point, and it's the PMO, which is the Price Momentum Oscillator on a monthly basis for the SPY. Okay. Now, we talked about it last time because I thought it was very important to point out that back in 1999, we got a negative crossover, but the market did not top out until a year later. In 2007, we got a negative crossover, and the market fell apart. But the reason why the market fell apart immediately in 2008 had to do with all the things that were going on with regards to the financial sector at that particular time, okay? So we have had a negative crossover a year ago. And just like back in 2000, the market has been able to move higher, okay? Now, we are at the critical juncture here. And I think if you are bullish, you really need to see the market acting bullishly. And acting bullishly, not over the next 4 weeks, but beyond that. If that doesn't happen, to me, that would be a good clue, a good hint that this is the time to pare down the enthusiasm. So now, next time we talk, which will be either next Friday or the Friday after, we will have, like we usually do, about 15-20 charts that have to do with detailed analysis of the big picture, and we'll further elaborate on that. What I want people to get from it right at this moment is that we could have further price deterioration for the next 4 weeks, but the key thing is not what happens between now and mid-October. The key thing is what's going to happen after mid-October, and we will elaborate further on that either next Friday or the Friday after that.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, right now, I think too many people get trapped listening to predictions. Like, that's all you basically see on the internet or here in the United States on CNBC. It's just people predicting it's going to go up. Or they predict it's going to go down, right? But they don't really tell you what you need to be watching for to know what's going on. And that's why I really, you know, think what you're pointing out, it can be so valuable to people.
Well, yeah. You know, look, anybody can make a prediction, whether it is modest or outrageous or whatever. The thing is, do you have the data that support your prediction? Okay, right now, the only prediction which can be supported by the data, in my view, is what I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, we could have further deterioration for the next 4 weeks. But the key thing is, what happens after that? Can the market, I mean, if we do have a deterioration, if we do have a sharp decline, can the market recover robustly? If you look at the AD line, if you look at several technical indicators, the answer is yes. The answer is, yeah, the market has more to go, okay? But we cannot be all that sure about it until we have further data. What we can infer from what we have right now, this is the time to be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And to be making outrageous predictions, more than likely, they're not going to come true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I read the other day a prediction about the S&P going up to 2,800. All right? That sounds to me like right before the market topped out in 2000, when people were talking about the Dow not going to 30,000, okay? From a sentiment point of view, if I can make a point, I would like to point out that throughout my years in this business, I have noticed that near major turning points, we get the most outrageous predictions. Okay, like the S&P was near, you know, 650. I was reading, you know, articles and predictions for the S&P going down to 300 or 350.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it was at, like right now.
Well, let me ask you this before you go. The thing about the predictions I've seen of people calling for a move, let's say 2800 on the S&P 500 or just some giant rally, a lot of the people I've seen that are predicting that, they say that's going to happen because they argue that Europe's going to collapse, Japan's going to collapse, the bond markets all over the world, the currencies are going to collapse, and all the people around the world are just going to buy U.S. stocks as a safe haven, and that'll drive it all up to some wild level. And you live in Europe, so I'm wondering, what do you think, is that even possible, that people in Europe would just sell their stocks and just buy the United States stock market?
Well, I'll tell you this. It sounds to me very similar to an article that I had read at the end of 2007, and it had to do with the U.S. collapsing and Europe collapsing, but China standing tall. And why would China and emerging markets would continue to go higher despite the banking problems in Europe and the U.S.? Well, that did not work out like that, didn't it?
No.
Okay, well, that's my opinion. I find it ludicrous that in a world that is economically interconnected, you can have a collapse in Europe and the U.S., you know, somehow managing to be unaffected. So, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
If something was to happen, I think the main beneficiary would not be U.S. stocks. Would be gold and perhaps no bonds, U.S. bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But, as I said, I remember very well similar predictions. But since you talk about collapse, let's talk a little bit about gold, because I think
Okay. Also
gold right now is at an important point, okay? Now, if we go back to what my position was for gold since the beginning of the year, I had said back then that overall what I was expecting was a rally into February, a pullback into April, a rally into late June, and then a pullback into the third quarter of this year, and then a further rally. The market did rally into February, and as a matter of fact, continued to rally afterwards, not by very much, okay? But nevertheless, we saw the bottom and then a further rally up to 3075, okay? If you look at the weekly chart for gold, what I'm pointing out is the very steep and negative divergence by the weekly MACD. Almost 80% of the time, when we have observed the last 30 years, such a negative, a steep divergence in the weekly MACD, gold has come down to test its previous lows. In this case, it would be around 1,200. All right? So, it would not surprise me if gold did not hold above 1,300 or 1,275, but it fell further. The next chart, which is the monthly chart for gold, we can see that we have what's resistance? Around 1375, 1400. And great support around 1200. So it would be logical to see a pullback down to 1200. And it we would still be in a new leg of a bull market. Things could change if we broke below 1200. And if you look at the monthly chart for the dollar, which is right below it, okay? Now we have an interesting picture. A picture that justifies, in my view, that the US dollar and gold are on a collision course. In other words, one of them is going to win, but I don't think both of them are going to win. All right? We're seeing an ascending triangle in the dollar. All right? And the key level is around 97.5. That's the dollar index. So the way I see it is, if gold holds above 1200 and the dollar cannot move above 97.5, that is an all-out buy signal for gold. Now, if gold can fall above 1200 and the dollar goes above, the dollar index goes above 97.5, then we can have a much more severe decline in gold, and the last gasp rally in the dollar that can carry above 100. Again, my point here is I'm telling people what it is that they need to pay attention to, the data point they need to pay attention to. In this case is 1200 for gold, 97.5 for the dollar index. And I believe the next 4 weeks will be pivotal for gold and the dollar, just like it would be for the U.S. stock market.
No, this is going to be a very interesting couple weeks. I mean, what happens today and tomorrow doesn't really mean anything, but it's what things look like, you know, in a month. It's going to be something.
And as I said, we will have another one, very extensive and detailed analysis of all the charts that we usually look at, either next Friday or the Friday after that, because I think this is a time that really people need to pay attention to, and we need to provide additional information.
Well, great. And thanks for taking the time to talk to me and everyone else. And I'm looking forward to that interview, too.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.